KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
A little more centered that way. Good morning, everyone, to On the Water, in the Air. We are live here in Watertown, South Dakota. We'll be heading shortly to North Dakota to speak with Cody. And Cody Roswick's been around the fishing business, guiding business, the fishing world for a lot of years. But you know what, Randy? January 31st was yesterday. Those of us in South Dakota, our licenses for hunting and fishing expired yesterday. And the Game Fish and Parks would like to remind everyone, I'm sure, and so would we, that they do not want to write you a ticket for fishing today in South Dakota. So please head out if you haven't already and get that done. We're making ice this morning. Sounds like we're going to make ice in North and South Dakota for a few days. So we've got that on the agenda, but it's good ice fishing weather. Man, is that good ice fishing weather. And if I could quickly do this. 12 years ago, I helped deliver our baby girl, Carter, and it is her birthday today, and we are so happy to celebrate. You know, they get more fun all the time. You know, they kind of understand it. They don't have their fingers in the cake and slopping it everywhere. These are fun now, Randy. I mean, you get the one picture, but anyway, so big day today for her, and I know she's probably not quite in the vehicle yet, heading towards. She gets to have a special breakfast this morning, so, yep. In town, at her favorite place. So, anyway, let's head on over. We have a ton of watchers already dialing in on Facebook Live this morning and ready to hear from someone other than Lynn Jurens. And let's bring in Cody Roswick. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Lynn.
You know, we talk about outdoorsmen and living in North and South Dakota and this upper Midwest. Your name comes to mind because of the many years that you've lived in this part of the country and been involved with the fishing industry. But not only that, I get to see pictures of mallards sitting next to his boat. So I know he's not just a fisherman.
Yeah, that's why we live here and love the outdoors. And we're pretty privileged to have all the great outdoor experiences here in the Dakotas.
We are very lucky, Mr. Cody, and, you know, just give the listeners just a quick idea. I first met you, you were working with Lund Boats. I mean, that's a long time ago, but, you know, did you grow up in that? At that time, you were living in Valley City, North Dakota. Has this always been home for you?
No, and when I worked at Lund, I lived down by Battle Lake, Minnesota, which is not too far from New York Mills. That's where the Lunds and Crestliners are made these days. But yeah, towards the end of my boat career, I moved over to Valley City. My wife took a job out here, and we've been here ever since. All my family's originally from North Dakota, so it was we were glad to be back and raise our kids here in the Dakotas.
Yeah, it is something special, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then you had a trip for quite a few years. You did a lot of traveling in the Dakotas with Berkeley, and did some guiding, lots of guiding. Are you still doing some of that also?
Yep. I'm doing a lot of guiding these days. I spent a lot of time up in Devil's Lake. I spend in the spring and summer. I spend quite a bit of time in Northeast South Dakota. Valley City's about 900 miles away from both, so I'm kind of right nestled in between. I got a little place up by Devil's Lake, and I spend a lot of time up there in the winter guiding perch fishermen. Everybody wants to come catch these big jumbo perch.
Yeah, they are they a little bit are they a little elusive this year? Is that kind of what I've heard?
Yeah, they have been. You know, I'd say they have been a little more of a challenge this year. We're getting fish every day, but the they've been a little bit harder to find, and I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of food out there. They're just full of bloodworms and shrimp, and there's areas where you see fish all day, you just have a hard time getting them to bite. But then every once in a while, you land on a nice big wave of them, and there's, you know, 3-4 feet of fish down there, and you can really catch a lot in a short period of time. So it's been okay, and not only that, we've been getting quite a few walleyes this year. So overall, it's been a pretty good season. You know, you can't be spoiled like we are some of the years. Some of the years, you know, there's 10 spots that are producing limits, and it's just not quite the case this year. You just have to work a little harder.
That kind of happens once in a while, and that's why I say, if you're going to head to Devil's Lake, there's so much water there. It doesn't hurt to hire a guy. They've kind of, it's not like it's going to be a perfect day, but at least you can kind of start to understand a little bit of a few of the tricks that go on. And, you know, this week on some of the posts out there, I took a look at a few of those tricks that you guys have kind of, you know, passed down to each other, learned from each other, learned on your own just with time. So, you know, what are some of those things that you could share with the listeners that kind of maybe, they apply in our part of the country also?
Yeah, they really do. You know, in eastern South Dakota, you've got a lot of lakes that are under the same phenomenon as Devil's Lake. It's fairly new water, real fertile water, and these fish are very well fed. So it's, I guess some of the things that I coach the fishing clients regularly is to play cat and mouse with the fish once you have them under you. And what I mean by that is, you know, go down to the fish, go up to the fish. There's little tricks and techniques that seem to work pretty well to trigger those fish into biting. And a lot of it's just getting close to the fish and then coaxing them up off the bottom. And once they get out of their comfort zone, they have to make a decision whether they're going to grab that bait or not. And the biggest tip I can give people is when the fish comes up off the bottom and gets close to your lure, quit paying attention to your electronics and pay attention to your rod tip, because those fish are, the bites are so subtle, you just barely see your line twitch or your rod tip move and set the hook and start reeling.
And then game on. And then after a couple, two, three, or a few minutes, then you have to switch tactics again.
Yeah, there's no hard and fast rules, but it's a real cat and mouse game getting those fish to bite at times. And then there's other, you know, then a little bit later, a wave or a small school of fish will come in, and they're hard charging, and they'll give, if you miss them, they'll come back, give you another opportunity. So, yeah, it depends on the day, but overall, it's a real finesse bite. It's a lot like fishing pressure bluegills, some of this perch fishing out here.
With those little bitty finger spools or those finger lines, and you don't have to go to that, though.
You don't have to go to those extremes, but you do have to coax the fish into biting sometimes.
So a lot of times, a lot of times in the morning and in the evenings, you're moving into position maybe for a walleye bite too, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, we are. Sometimes we set up right away in the morning for walleye for a couple hours. Sometimes it's the evening, but and we move around a lot. I think one of the keys to being successful on the ice and Devil's Lake and many other areas is just being mobile. Mm-hmm. You know, use portable tracks and being able to move, you know, 100 yards or a quarter mile in a very timely fashion is really important out there, because there's activity windows out there, and if you can quickly move the clients around and be portable and quickly get on a bite, it can make or break your day.
Yeah. Target Walleye showed a quick video here yesterday in their one of their weekly broadcasts about perch eyes, and sure brought me back to the days. From the first memories of ice fishing with my grandfather, I remember all of us learning how to pop that eyeball out of that perch, and there's still no better bait than that, Cody.
No, I use them. You know, they are legal here in North Dakota, and I use them all the time. I coach a lot of people on how to remove an eyeball. I know it's gruesome, but they stay on the hook really well, and perch are cannibals. They eat each other, and they really like a perch eye.
And
yeah, it's one of the best baits in the perch world.
Well, you know, I was that surprised me too, because when they promoted that YouTube video, and everybody can go to YouTube and watch this, they said some areas it's not legal. Yeah, have you heard of a place? I mean, Dakotas are both legal. Is Minnesota
Dakotas
not legal?
Dakotas are legal, but Minnesota is not. You cannot use fish parts in Minnesota.
Oh boy, they have so many rules.
And of course,
over there.
We get a lot of our Minnesota neighbors over fishing, and yeah, they've never used them before because it hasn't been legal in Minnesota.
Isn't that crazy stuff sometimes, what they outlaw over there, and they still don't have any fish? They've got all the laws in the world, and they still don't have fish. They still got to go to North Dakota to find one. No, that's not very nice to my friends from Minnesota. We shouldn't be saying stuff like that about our Minnesota friends, but oh my, the DNR.
Well,
they're always mixed up.
Their lakes are a little different, and a lot of their perch are real small, so. They don't want a lot of one-eyed perch running around there. They might.
I would
people
guess.
People would throw them back.
I would guess that's what they would do, wouldn't they? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
I've thought about
tricks.
It a lot. When you're out ice fishing, as much as I am, you get to think about that stuff a lot. And yeah, Minnesota, Wisconsin, there'd be a lot of one-eyed perch swimming around. They would throw them back.
Well, for those of us that have been watching us on Facebook Live, our feed has gone south. But hey, we're trying to get it started back up. But they'll be able to catch us. The radio station has a recording. We'll get that set up and provide that link to this interview today with Cody Roswick. Cody, so we talk about the world of perch fishing. What to use, those sorts of things. And one of my favorites, they actually said it in this article also, where they were talking about you and Jason Mitchell and heading to Devil's Lake, is the Northland perch eye. Thing has caught more fish for us in this area. And a lot of times they're gone on the shelves here, but you don't hear much about it. Do you guys, one hole this, one hole that, or... What? Tell me a little bit about the success of the perch eye, and if you don't know, that's fine too.
No, the Northland perch eye is something that was developed years ago. It stems back from some of the people at Northland that perch fish a lot. You know, Eric Nagg and some of the crew over there, they love to fish perch. And they understand the attraction and the how successful it is to use perch eyes. So they developed, they just built a PVC perch eye, and you know it's something dangling off that treble hook that perch are attracted to, and if it looks like food, tastes like food, they'll eat it. So
they do eat
those
buggers.
Makes perfect sense. And yeah, in the future, I'd love to see them develop several more eyeball-style lures, and hopefully I can help them with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, the colors right now, the chartreuse, the red, a black, blue.
Orange and white.
Orange, black. White, yep, white. I hate to say it, but they work great for walleyes.
Oh, yeah.
They are. They're fantastic. I mean, you have to learn how to. Same with catching perch. You have to learn how to just barely get them on the hook and get yourself some exposed, eye of that. You need that point of that hook to be able to hook that fish. You can't just hook them on the top of that hook and expect you're gonna, get everyone in. But once you learn how to hook that little bugger on that treble hook on your jig, that thing's deadly. And my friends.
Yep.
My friends don't have time to mess around with these perch and kind of sit there and jiggle around for an hour or two for one perch, or, a school of perch that isn't biting. But when the perch are on the bite, they'll whack them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when they're really aggressive, they're opportunistic. And And the neat thing about perch is they're a schooling fish. You seldom find just one lone perch out there, although it does happen. But when the school comes in, I think there's a lot of competition, and they want to eat that bait before their neighbor. So,
well, and a lot of times
you get these little feeding frenzies out there, and that's, yeah, there's times when you can put a hot dog down there and catch them.
And I know you guys don't do this much on Devil's Lake because the big schools are out in the basin or on the edges of the basin, and same out here. But once in a while, we'll get on that bite on the weed line. And, you know, yeah, maybe we were targeting walleye on that weed line, but, man, there's some beautiful, aggressive perch that are hanging in there. And you can probably put a dozen perch and walleyes in your bucket before you have to change bait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the beauty of the real eyeballs and the Northland eyeballs. They stay on the hook so well. That skin is really tough. The Northland perch eye is good, tough material. We all know how artificials stay on the hook very well. And artificials in general are just a great choice when you're winter ice fishing. There's several things. They look real. They taste real these days. They got great movement, good soft, supple artificial baits. But the other thing is to use your artificial baits in conjunction with live bait. So for example, if you take a buckshot rattlespoon, you put a whole buffet on there. You can put waxies, you can put a perch eye, and a piece of artificial bait on those three trebles. That way, when you get in a good frenzy of fish, you know you got bait down there. You know, there's a lot of little tips and tricks that make you be more efficient out there, and that's one of them.
Well, and it with working with pro staff now, you know, not only do you get to take your arsenal of information and experiences, but you get to hear a few more, and that's one there. I kind of like that. That's a great idea, Cody. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And our listeners.
The other one is.
Go ahead.
The other one that I'll share with you is a lot of times minnow heads, wax worms, maggots, those live bait products will eventually loosen up and fall off your hook. And one little tip that works really well is just to put a minnow head on a treble hook and put a little piece, just break off a little piece of plastic or of an artificial bait and put that just past the barb. And what that does is just locks your minnow head on a hook. So there's another little tip that can ensure that your bait stays on the hook longer and you catch more fish and you can get down faster when the bite is happening.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We used to do that in the open water with our jigs, and I hadn't thought of that for the hard water guys. So yeah, thank you. There's so much to learn, but I thought in this last minute here, you know, a lot of people go, well, how do I break into the fishing world? If I want to do this for, you know, a hobby, or I want to be a guide, or I want to be, you know, work with pro staff and work with a company like Northland, you know, someone in your position probably, no doubt, has seen the good and the positive sides of those things. Tell us a little bit about how, you know, you would recommend getting into that world.
Well, there's no quick way to make it in the fishing industry other than good old fashioned hard work, and you need to have a promotional mind. You got to remember that it's not just your fishing ability; it's your ability to help whoever you're partnered with to grow their business. Increase brand awareness, be a promotional angler, as well as being a professional angler. And what I mean by that is you have to come up with ways to help grow your partner's business, whether it's building the brand, whether it's helping them out with events, social media content, and all that promotional activities that go with it. Yep. And it's just good old-fashioned hard work, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to build relationships with people, and you have to prove yourself to them. I can't stress enough that it just comes down to good old fashioned hard work.
Yeah, I still remember the guys in the tournament world. You know, the successful ones were the ones who could get it done on the water, but also could soften their heart enough to be an incredible ambassador to all the people that we come in contact with in the fishing industry. And there's always one that comes to my mind. There's a couple, Gary Roach and Bro Brosdahl. Those two come to my mind as just, they could sit there in any sports show. They could sit there on the street. They can talk on the radio and just have this conversation. And you're like, I like that guy. And so, you know, I think that's why, you know, they thrive in this industry
they're good people persons, and they're good teachers, you know. And that's probably, you bring up a real good point, Lynn, that, to be a good promotional angler, you not only have to be a credible angler, but you have to be willing to share some of the techniques and ideas and little tips to make those products catch more fish, but be easier for the angler to use, whether it's, you know, explaining what knots you use or your jigging cadence with a new XYZ bait. Those are the things that people have questions about, but they really want to know how to be a better angler. And the cool thing about the fishing world, we never quit learning. it's something that we can absorb our whole lives and not even break the surface, because there's so many species and so many techniques. And look at all the cool techniques that have been developed just recently with all the little glide lures that we're all using. The list goes on and on. Northland Tackle's never sold so many puppet minnows in the last
puppet minnows
4 or 5 years.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Well, Cody, mm-hmm. News is waiting here at the station, and you and I could talk for a couple more hours about all kinds of stuff like this. I want to apologize to some of our Facebook listeners here. You got us in two different segments, and then I will post the recording of this from the radio station on Facebook and tag Cody in on that also. So you'll get the whole show. Sorry again, a little bit of technical difficulty here. I think I got onto a Wi-Fi thing that got me messed up here this morning. I forgot to shut off the Wi-Fi, and sometimes that just doesn't have enough bandwidth to keep us rolling. But guess what, Cody?
No problem.
Everyone got to hear some of the good things from some of the good people, and you are that good people in this world. We thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, thanks, Lynn. You guys have a great day.
Yep. See you soon on the road. Take care. Another week of On the Water in the Air, Mr. Randy. We're going to send it over to you and the news.